This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
Dale Campisi and his partner Brady Michaels aren't just creative partners, they're real-life partners who collaborate on creative projects as The Gents. Their latest project is a new guidebook to Melbourne called Melbourne Pocket Precincts. Dale and Brady spoke to Ariane Potts about their book and how central Melbourne has changed in the past few years.
Well, welcome Dale and Brady. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
So you've got a new book that's about to come out, Melbourne Pocket Precincts.
That's right.
Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Melbourne Pocket Precincts, so it's a new guidebook to the city. So we cover off restaurants, bars, cultural hangouts has been the focus for this one. It's part of a series, precinct series that Hardy Grant have been producing since Melbourne Precincts, the first one in that series, came out in 2013. That's global, so I guess there's a difference, first of all, between the Precincts series, which are large format, hardcover guidebooks, really kind of your coffee table kind of guidebook, and then the Pocket series, which is a paperback version, half the price, and aimed perhaps more at a slightly younger traveller, person who experiences their city. One of the key differences for us, though, of course, between those two books is that Melbourne Precincts includes lots of retail, so really fantastic homeware stores and the like, whereas this one, far less of that retail.
Yeah, less emphasis on the shopping and more about experiences, and which includes a lot of free experiences as well, which is really great. We love to include great free experiences you can have, like going to the Botanical Gardens, you know, one of our favourite places. And there's lots of great things you can do just wandering around and exploring the city.
But I guess for us, those, in writing the guidebook about Melbourne, and we've done a number of iterations of Melbourne Precincts over the years, has been to capture really quintessentially Melbourne experiences. So how is Melbourne different from other cities? So the places that we include, you know, it's ideal that they're the kinds of experiences that you can't get in other cities, uniquely Melbourne in some way, or distinctly Melbourne, trying to avoid the use of the term unique where possible. In terms of the architecture of the books or the precincts books, so that's a number of suburbs per chapter, I guess. So we'll look at Fitzroy and Collingwood and focus on those areas and try to give a bit of that local flavour there and some of the best bars and pubs and cafes and restaurants and cultural experiences that each of our unique neighbourhoods offers across the city. So we take in north, east, south, west. And in Melbourne Pocket Precincts, we've gone further afield as well. So there's a couple of chapters on visiting the Dandenongs and Yarra Valley, Goldfields, Peninsula and Great Ocean Road.
So doing this book, what did you learn about Melbourne that as Melbourne residents in the past you didn't know?
Well, look, it was an interesting one, this particular one, to work on because we actually moved down to Tassie 6 years ago. And so we've actually been kind of backwards and forwards, but we've been away from Melbourne more than usual. And so this book kind of came along at a time when we had been away for a few years. We'd been working, you know, living down in country Tasmania and having a very different life experience, and then revisiting Melbourne. So for us, really, it was about finding, well, what's new, what has appeared since we lived here last in 2012, but then also revisiting, so kind of almost falling back in love with the city, because we kind of fell in love with Tassie for a while and had enough of the kind of big city life that Melbourne offers. And so this book was kind of the perfect project for us to step back into the city that, you know, we have a long history living here but had been away for a while. So it was great to reacquaint ourselves.
So I guess our relationships to place are not monogamous. It's absolutely a polygamous relationship we have with Tasmania and
absolutely
Melbourne.
Yeah.
I gotta say, for me though, one of the big things that the big things I learned about Melbourne this time is just how much Melbourne has changed in the last 5 years in particular. So of course the infrastructure boom is the kind of physical manifestation of that we see, and all the disruption that comes with that, and that has a fundamental change on the way in which we experience the city. Mm-hmm. To the detriment in the short term, but, you know, we've really got to, you know, when we think about how much our population is going to grow here over the next few years, there's a lot of work to do to ensure that we can still live in one of the world's most livable cities in 10 to 20 years' time.
So what kind of surprised you when you were doing this research and coming back to Melbourne?
Well, look, I think for me it was just, like Dale said, just the amount of progress and development happening in the CBD, but also in the inner suburbs as well. So obviously, apartment towers just popping up everywhere. You know, I think probably visually one of the biggest shocks for me was all the new towers going up on Elizabeth Street up near the Victorian Market. That was like looking up at that and going, oh, right, the CBD is not the CBD that I remembered. It is bigger, fuller. It's more shadowy, you know, reminded me a bit more like New York where you do, you know, you've got big shadows now, wind tunnels, not always good things, but, you know, it's part of the nature and the character of, you know, of a metropolis, which Melbourne is clearly becoming, you know, one of those big international cities. So I think that was the thing that kind of surprised me the most.
Yeah, and I guess with all of those towers, you begin to really understand how people make critical mass and therefore how neighbourhoods live or die by the people who live in those areas. And so we're going to see a lot more, obviously, around that Elizabeth Street end of town where we haven't in the past. I was also really taken by Richmond's slow revival. Obviously, it was hit really hard by the, you know, DFOs coming into town, and because that, you know, traditionally was an outlet strip, and then it was dead for a long time. But that's what's really interesting, I think, is those shopping strips that that decline, that then creates the environment, the possibility for activation, which is where we see interesting things happen in retail, which we typically see through pop-ups, for instance. And the other, of course, is the West. The West has really come on in the last 5 years, which is so exciting. And, you know, I guess that's always a double-edged sword, isn't it, particularly for people who live over that way and like the old West. But seeing how that's going to change is really exciting as well.
Yeah, well, I guess it's really that continuation of the gentrification process, really seeing a lot more interesting things popping up, more interesting, new, different kind of things popping up in the suburbs further out, you know, things like Gertrude Contemporary, which used to be on Gertrude Street, obviously, hence the name, and is now in Preston. You know, that was a real surprise for me. Not so much that I'm surprised that they moved out there. It's obvious why they moved out there, because they can get a bigger space for less rent. But interesting culturally what that means for that area. Obviously, the artistic community is moving north, and as has been happening for a while, it's not a huge shock. But to see such a big, you know, quite a big important cultural institution in Preston, like I lived and worked in Preston for many years, and, you know, there was nothing like that. There were lots of, you know, artist spaces and still, you know, lots of kind of funky warehouses with artists living and working in them. But for something that slick and, you know, a great architectural statement.
You've been doing the Melbourne Central tours for a few years now. With the CBD changing so much, and Melbourne Central, especially when it was built, being sort of the edge of the CBD, can you talk a little bit about the changes in that neighbourhood?
Yeah, so the Melbourne Central Unlocked tours that I lead on the last Sunday of every month, I never thought I'd be taking kind of history-led tours of a shopping centre. But that's the interesting thing, I think, about history and history in Melbourne, is that scratch the surface and there's a really rich surface under there, and I guess it's really obvious at Melbourne Central. You've got this huge shot tower in the middle now. How on earth did that end up with a shopping centre around it is an amazing story in itself. But yeah, when Melbourne Central was constructed, so that opened in 1990, Latrobe Street was absolutely the edge of the city. And I guess, you know, in some ways it still kind of is. You know, we've got the big university developments to the north of there now, but that was really critical to Melbourne's growth as the kind of contemporary metropolis that we know today, that we could extend the retail core away from Bourke Street. You know, it was completely surrounded by factories at that time as well. You know, Melbourne was a red brick city from the 19th century. Industry obviously took place in the CBD. Even like really World War II was kind of a marker where things begin to change, but that continued right up until the 1970s. People were still working in factories in the middle of town, and the shot tower, for example, that's toxic heavy industry taking place in the middle of the city.
And for our listeners, could you explain what they were doing with the shot tower?
Yeah, so shot towers are used to make lead shot that's used in shotguns. So that's really basic pre-industrial technology. Drop something lead, something molten from a great height over the fall, it becomes spherical. All of those lead spheres can then be, you know, used obviously in cartridges for ammunition, but then of course also for ballast in ships and old-fashioned weights and mm-hmm. you know, lots of other different uses.
Anywhere you need lead.
Yeah, which we, I mean, we don't need so much lead anymore, which is sort of part of the reason for the demise of that industry. But great that we got to keep this amazing industrial edifice. Wacky, weird story, and encased within a shopping centre.
That was Ariane Potts speaking to Dale Campisi and Brady Michaels about their new book, Melbourne Pocket Precincts, in bookstores now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.